Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Tackling the issues that shape our state. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Man, my goodness, that Joe Biden interview. Who did he do the interview with? Was it with the BBC? Oh, he sounded like he was on his deathbed. And the extremely long pauses, my goodness. It was like Interview with a Vampire or something. Caden, that's a throwback to a 90s movie. All right, anyway, hey, we got a great show lined up for you here. Actually, a great 6 o'clock hour. Forget the rest of the show. We got a great 6 o'clock hour coming up for you. David Noble, normally he comes in and joins us in the 7 o'clock hour on Thursdays. He'll be with us for part of the 7 o'clock hour, but he's coming in extra early today. He's going to join us right after the Farm and Ranch Report here in the first hour of the show. So I've got a woke update ready. I'm sure he's got one. We can go back and forth on all the big news of the day, whether it's national news, Montana news, or the Arabian Gulf news. You know, first there was the Gulf of America, now President Trump with another brilliant move in the works. He's going to stop referring to it as the Persian Gulf and to the Arabian Gulf instead. I don't know if you guys have heard me talk about why that's significant before, but there we go. That's going to be in the news today along with so many other things. So lots to talk about here in the 6 o'clock hour of the show, but we're going to have some fun here because coming up in the next segment, we're going to turn over the microphone. We're going to pass the microphone to our producer, Caden Bjornstad. He's going to take over the mic. We've talked a little bit about high school baseball. You know, in several towns and cities across Montana are now implementing official high school baseball teams. And Caden's been umpiring. He's been, seeing it all firsthand. He's been talking with coaches. He's been talking with players, everything. And so anyway, we're going to turn over the microphone to him and give us a little bit of an update on high school baseball and a little bit of a sports update, a Montana sports update here for the opening segment of the show. So that's going to be great. So basically right after the next news and weather break, he's going to take over the segment. He's going to take over the microphone, and I'm looking forward to kicking back and listening in. And then, after the Farm and Ranch Report, then we've got David Noble in the house here on this Thursday. Okay, let's see. Man, what all are we going to talk about today? I already threw out the one thing I need to do. Man, you know, we grab so many news stories, so many audio clips, and you always got to be more prepared. You'd always rather be more prepared than underprepared, right? And so much of this show prep that we gather every day, you would think with a 4-hour long morning show, you would run out of things to talk about, but we never do, especially when we start getting your great phone calls and more. But there's a couple of sound bites that I snagged. You guys know, speaking of sports, do you guys know who Stephen A. Smith is? I don't know that much about him. It seems like you see him all the time though. Anyway, he has been sounding off on the Democrat Party. There's apparently he's been thinking about running for president as a Democrat, and he's like, yeah, that party's such a train wreck. There's no way I could run for president as a Democrat. But he's been calling out some other things as well. I've had some good sound bites that I've been racking up this week, but I haven't used them yet. So those will be on deck. But next up with the bat, Caden Bjornstad.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny skies across the area for today, there's a slight chance for a shower storm late in the day. Otherwise, highs range from the lower 70s in Bozeman to the low 80s in the Billings area. For tonight, isolated shower storm chance early. Otherwise, temperatures will head back down to the mid-40s in Bozeman to the mid-50s in the Billings vicinity. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Securing America.
A House Homeland Security subcommittee hearing Tuesday centered on China's growing intelligence presence in Cuba, which Florida Republican Congressman Carlos Jimenez called a brazen danger to U.S. national security.
And places our military operations, commercial activity, and communication squarely in the crosshairs of a hostile foreign power.
Dr. Ryan Berg is with the Center for Strategic and International Studies. He testified China is the perfect current partner for Cuba.
When Soviet influence diminished on the island following the end of the Cold War, eyes, ears, and antennas stayed. In many ways, China filled the void.
While policy analyst and national security expert Andres Martinez Fernandez warned,
as Beijing grows increasingly belligerent against Taiwan and U.S. forces in the Indo-Pacific, the U.S. must assume that China will operationalize its presence and influence in Latin America and the Caribbean against the United States.
Kidney Rescue, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast. Just search our names, Clay and Buck. Listen and subscribe.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana, statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Welcome, everybody, to your sports roundup. I got a chance to talk with West Coach Kyler last night before their matchup against Skyview. Here's that for you.
We're coming to the end of the year here. We got, what, 3-4 more games left in the season. You and Skyview are the top two teams. Central's still coming, kind of coming behind, though. Yeah. They aren't totally out of the race. What's been your message to the team entering this last month here?
Yeah, I mean, from day one, we've been talking about, you know, trust the process, and that's kind of buying into the process of, you know, believing in each other and, you know, taking, you know, every pitch, you know, and doing the best we possibly can in every situation and, you know, not trying to look too far ahead and, you know, just try to end the season well. And we've got a good opportunity right here to put us in a better position and hopefully we execute and do the little things right today.
So you guys beat Skyview first game of the year. Unfortunately, it was non-conference, so then they beat you one, two games, I don't remember. Yeah. So this game tonight, possibly the game for the first seed heading into the tournament from the eastern side.
Correct.
How big is that number one seed heading into the tournament?
You know, I would say it's pretty big, but you know, it's kind of hard to tell, right? The you know, with it being state for the first time, or at least that we've been a part of it. You know, I mean, you know, one seed definitely is big, right? You get the automatic bid right into it. You don't have to play a play-in game. So yeah, definitely a lot on the line right now, and you know, we just can't, you know, think about it, you know, a whole lot, and I kind of not look into it whole much. We just got to play our game, and I think if we do that, I think we'll be in a really good spot today.
What have been some of the keys you've noticed from the offensive side this year that have put you guys in the position to succeed?
Yeah, you know, offensively, you know, we talk a lot of practice. You know, when we got guys at third and we got less than two outs, the biggest thing is we got to find a way to score them so we can't strike out. You know, we can't hit anything hard at third or first. We got to put, you know, something up in the middle. You know, I say gap to gap, and you know, if we do that, it's going to, you know, for the defensive side of things, it's going to definitely put them in a hard spot, and you know, they're going to have to execute that. So you know, I think we just kind of stick with the process. We just keep doing what we do, and you know, like you said, offensively, I think it's big confidence. You know, I mean, a lot of guys right now are rolling in our lineup, and hopefully that continues today, and we'll see where we're at today. So
And for the defensive side, I've noticed looking through some of the game logs, you like to do a little bit more of a platoon sort of system. Is there a particular reason for that? Are you looking at development for next year or further on down the line, or is it just playing who's ready?
Yeah, I think it's kind of a little bit of everything. It kind of just depends on what the situation might kind of be going on in the game, right? But definitely having guys ready to go, and not just, you know, looking for this year, but, you know, looking for, like, if something happens, you know, injuries happen, you know, guys pitching, and we got to have guys come in, and they got to be ready to go. So, you know, for this year, next year, for years in the future, definitely. But, you know, just trying to get guys opportunities and having them ready to go. And it's all 17 guys. It's not just the 10 guys or 9 guys that are out there right now. It's all 17 guys got to be ready to go because you just never know what's going to come at them. So,
any final thoughts here as you guys head into the tournament?
No, I think, you know, we just got to stick with our game. And I think we're going to be, like you said, in a good spot after today. And, you know, we'll be ready for anything that comes across. Whether, you know, it's a play-in game or an automatic bid. So, you know, we're definitely, you know, doing the best we can, and really proud of these guys of kind of where they've come. And, you know, like I tell them, don't be satisfied. We just got to keep pushing. And, you know, that's when we, if you come become satisfied, that's when, you know, a team will come out and jump on you and, you know, definitely expect something that you won't. So, you know, don't be satisfied and stick with the process, and we'll be in a good spot.
All righty. Thanks for your time, Coach.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was Coach Kyler Thompson with West before their game against Skyview last night. That game, West ended up winning 9-6 over the Falcons, with Owen Schneider pitching with 7 strikeouts through 4.1 innings for the Bears in that victory. The standings right now in the eastern side of the state is still Skyview on top. Skyview won the first game 2-6, and West won last night 6-9, so Skyview still holds the run tiebreaker between the two teams. We'll see if that comes into play here as we're reaching the end of the season. West still has 2 more games right now scheduled. We have a bunch of makeup games to make do with the weather, the spring Montana weather, canceling some of them. But they'll play Central tonight. I'm actually assigned to that game, so I'll be front row seat for that one as they'll take on Central. It'll be a preview of the play-in game for the tournament. The number one seed gets an automatic bid into the tournament, and the other 2 seeds, maybe 3, face off in a one-game playoff for that final spot. Looking over to more of the central side of the state, Beaverhead County, East Helena, and Belgrade are kind of the ones at the top of the line on that side. Beaverhead County currently is the number 2 seed, right behind Belgrade, who's number 1, and then East Helena is number 3. So East Helena will be looking to make some moves here. They're a few games back, but they still have, moving forward, they'll face Beaverhead County on Saturday, this Saturday, the 10th, and have a chance to possibly jump them in the standings there. Before that, they'll play Sydney on Friday, and then come our senior from Billings will head to Helena to face them on Thursday, the 15th. Belgrade, their schedule, they'll have Lone Peak today. They'll travel to Lone Peak, and then the Billings senior will head up to Belgrade on Tuesday the 13th, and then Belgrade will be coming into Billings to face Skyview for their last game Friday the 16th. And Beaverhead County, their only scheduled game as of right now is against East Helena on the 10th, this Saturday. So make sure to go check those games out. Lots of good baseball going on right now around the state as high school is wrapping up. Lots of good softball, too. Make sure you go out and support your high school sports. Next year, it'll be a lot different with the way teams are lined up and how the brackets will move as we separate the AA from the rest of the teams. But, yeah, it'll be a close race here as we enter the back stretch. It'll be interesting to see who comes out on top here in Montana.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
It's hard for me to get the image out of my head of Lucy holding the football for Charlie Brown to kick when people start talking about cutting spending in the federal government. You know the cartoon. Every time Charlie Brown runs at the football to kick it, Lucy pulls it away at the last minute, only to implore him to try again. And so we start again to talk about cutting things in government, only to find that spending continues to surge. It must be said, leaders in Washington, including the ones we send there from Montana, simply are not serious about cutting spending or raising taxes to manage deficits. There's been simply no downside for elected leaders to spending ever more borrowed money, to the point where today, in a full employment economy, government spends $1.8 trillion, or about 37% more money than it takes in taxes. But if leaders pay no attention to future generations that are saddled with that debt, there is one voice that gets their attention, and that is the bond market. The stunning rise in bond yields a few weeks ago following the tumult over tariffs reminds us of that fact. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby, an ultimatum from the head of the Democratic National Committee, Ken Martin. He said, quote, no DNC officers should ever attempt to influence the outcome of a primary election, whether on behalf of an incumbent or a challenger. DNC Vice Chairman David Hogg aimed to spend millions of dollars in primary challenges against Democratic lawmakers. Hogg says, quote, it's not to say out with the old and in with the new. I would say it's out with the ineffective and in with the effective. Democrats say this policy was not a response to Hogg. But Hogg is the elephant in the room to the party represented by a donkey. And there's rage over age. 80-year-old Senate Minority Whip Dick Durbin is the latest veteran Democrat to quit. Durbin's departure could intensify progressive pressure on Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer to quit, too. Age is just a number. but numbers have consequences. Five House Democrats over the age of 65 have died within the past year. House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries says Democrats could have sidetracked President Trump's agenda had the older members lived. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Go west, young man, haven't you been told? It's a line from a great Toby Keith song. Maybe it's also a line that will soon be told to employees at the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Hey, Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. Yeah, I got the chance to catch up with former acting BLM director William Perry Pendley talking about that and much more. What are we going to talk about on Thursday's Montana Talks? Maybe that, maybe something else. You tell us. We'll have the phone lines open for you. Montana Talks, 9 to 10 statewide.
Snakes, zombies, public speaking, the list of fears is endless. But the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. Distracted driving is what's really scary, and even deadly. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Let's put out this campfire.
Dad, Smokey Bear said to.
Drown it with water, then stir with a shovel, and repeat until cool.
Wow, where can I learn all this?
It's all on SmokeyBear.com, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Good morning, everybody. It's time for your Daybreak Ag Report. I'm Russell Nemitz, and thanks for being with us here on the Western Ag Network. Well, our network's Lane Nordland is still down under at the 2025 World Angus Forum. And this morning, he's standing by from Brisbane, Australia with another RotoMix update.
Our trip in Australia is close to wrapping up. A part of the World Angus Forum, our coverage brought to you by RotoMix. They are designed for feeding performance, feeding cattle in feedlots and ranches across the United States and even Australia. Now, I'm not going to lie, I am relieved to not be having to ride a bus again. Today, we put over 1,000 miles on our buses, traveling from Sydney to Brisbane on the Angus Track Tour, but we are in Brisbane for the 2025 World Angus Forum. There's over 26 countries represented at the event, and all are passionate about livestock and the Angus breed. One of those individuals is from Perth, Scotland, Mr. William McLaren.
Well, I mean, that's what the Angus breed's about. It's a family, it's a people breed, and we've got a common goal and an interest. And we're all saddos on that bus. We all just want to look at cattle, speak about cattle, and eat cattle. And when it's Angus, we couldn't ask for a better breed. So it's a world breed. The genetics have travelled, the American genetics have travelled the world. So we all have common genetics that we know about and bulls that we all can speak about.
Now, the theme of the World Angus Forum was Beef for a Better Planet. A lot of discussions on the global scale on the role cattle play in taking care of our natural resources. Now, I truly have hours of interviews and conversations that I've had with individuals on the Angus Track Tour and at the World Angus Forum. I can't share them all right here on the radio program, but you can check them out by visiting all of our social media pages on Western Ag Network and, of course, our Langcast Ag Podcast, where a lot of those conversations will be housed. From Brisbane, I'll send it back to the studio.
All right, thanks a lot, Lane. And like he said, be sure to check out our social media channels for more of his coverage from the 2025 World Angus Forum in Australia. Stay with us. We'll have more ag news right after this.
The Northern Pulse Growers Association and Northern Crops Institute invite you to join the Pulse Potential Webinar Series. The webinars focus on providing education on pulse production and use with the goal of increasing consumer demand and expanding pulse production through new growers. Topics include the use and benefits of pulse crops, trends and innovations, market drivers, and the path from producer to processor. Check out the schedule and register for the next webinar at northern-crops.com/webinars.
At AgWest, we know ag financing like you know that the office with the best view isn't a traditional office at all. For over a century, we've supported the people who are the heart of ag and believe you deserve a financial partner who works as hard as you do. Give us a call from your office, wherever that may be. We'd love to chat. Find us at agwestfc.com. Equal opportunity provider and employer, equal housing lender.
Well, Democrats in the U.S. Senate have asked the USDA to explain why the Department of Government Efficiency must approve certain government farm loans and loan guarantees now before they're issued. The lawmakers also told USDA that they wanted details about how such reviews are being conducted and whether DOJ will be vetting other U.S. Department of Agriculture farm assistant programs. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nemitz.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, great to have David Noble here in the house here in the early morning hour of the show. Of course, he's been here all 4 hours of the show, does a great job filling in as the guest host. But
speaking of which, I don't know if you had a chance to listen the last time I guest hosted the show for the 4 hours.
A little bit.
But one of the news stories, one of the big news stories that weekend before that Monday that I hosted was all about the legislature passing a ban on styrofoam. And I spent a good chunk of that Monday morning talking about that. And I said on the air, I said, look, guys, I don't want to come in here and bash the Republican / Democrat legislature and all these people that are up there. But when I'm prepping for the show over the weekend and the big news item is banning styrofoam, what else am I kind of supposed to do here? So I went off on that, and it's just a basic sort of freedom issue, and it's something that you sort of see out of you'd expect to see out of California, and I went off on how horrible it is that we're out here struggling under unbearable credit card debt, barely making ends meet, and they're going to do something like that that's going to not only you know, cost a bunch of money from state, but also then cause our prices of our food to go up. And I spent a ton of time. And then recently to see Governor Gianforte veto that bill and raise a lot of the same arguments that we talked about on this show in terms of how it's going to increase costs on consumers, how it's a basic freedom issue. And then Governor Gianforte pointed out that the thing had like a $300,000 price tag to it, too, to enforce a freaking styrofoam ban.
Yeah.
When they won't cut our taxes more, when we are out here struggling under credit card debt just trying to get by, and they're going to spend $300,000 of our dollars on us. So anyway, I don't know if Governor Gianforte or any of his folks were listening to Montana Talks on that day, but boy was that awesome to see Governor Gianforte veto that bill. And it was just reflective of every caller and everything we ever said on Montana Talks on that Monday.
And I think, you know, it was expected because it was one of those things where it's like, how in the world did this stupid bill get through the legislature? But, you know, you get the wheeling and dealing. Oh, well, if I vote for this stupid thing over here, then maybe they'll vote for my more important thing over there. But that's one of those things where it's like, man, yeah, I'm sure anybody who voted for that was like, yeah, that was stupid. But again, when you have a handful of Republicans voting with Democrats, that's how, you know, you play stupid games, you win stupid prizes. But thankfully, what I loved about the governor's veto video, though, is that he showed that he's not afraid to poke these guys in the eye. And he's not afraid to ruffle some feathers in the legislature. Oh, you guys want to pick fights with him? He's more than willing to poke you in the eye right back.
And that was so refreshing.
And I hope that's a sign of more vetoes to come. And I know we agree on that point.
Yeah,
especially
on
this massive spending.
I loved it. It was like a lifting of my spirits. I had a flow of joy through my veins when I saw that. I was like, and then I don't know if you saw my other post on X, but I said I hope Governor Gianforte just goes on an absolute tear and just vetoes a bunch of this stuff that the legislature passed. Throw it in the trash now instead of waiting until it gets to the courts to be thrown in the trash.
Yeah. I'm hopeful that we will see a lot of that. I just hope it's enough. All right, back in here in the 6 o'clock hour of the show. David, I got a woke update for you. Did you come ready with one? If not, I got one ready to roll.
I do have one, yeah.
All right, well, you shoot with yours, and then I'll shoot with mine, and I think we got a caller on the line with another woke update for you.
Well, did you see my woke update is the new 13-foot bronze statue of a black woman on her phone built in Italy. Did you see that one?
So I didn't see that she was on her phone. I saw in Times Square. Is this the one in Times Square?
So this is a Woke Spy article that's talking about not just the Times Square one, but there's sort of like a history of these sort of statues of black. So there's one in Italy of a woman on her phone. The one There's one in Netherlands from 2023 of an obese black woman, and then just recently sort of the New York City one, where it's like, look, I'm all in favor of statues. You know, we like to build statues, not tear them down. But I don't know, maybe celebrating obesity is not the ideal way to go on that one.
Yeah, what is it with these leftists who have this racial stereotype that all black women are big?
The statues are big. It's like, I know lots of black women that are not big.
I know. It's like, I went to Howard University, and it's like, what is it with these liberals and this racial stereotype of black women? Yeah, I saw the one in Times Square where they're marketing it as, large black woman statue in Times Square. And it's like, what's the point of this? I don't get the point here. And then there's another one that shows a woman on her cell phone. Oh, that's how I want to be memorialized. Show me on my cell phone. Yeah, what did he accomplish in life? He stared at his cell phone a
lot. Yeah, I mean, both of those are bizarre. And I would also say this. If that's their view, then why do they not support MAHA? Where's their support for RFK Jr.? Where's their support for MAHA? Where's their support for actually fixing the underlying causes of an obesity epidemic that's not just impacting black women or minorities or anybody else? We've got a major obesity problem in this country and a diabetes problem and everything else, but the Democrats are holding us back on that one too.
Well, that's because they want to spread the misery. They don't spread the wealth. They don't want to spread success. So if dieting and nutrition and going to the gym is a good thing, well, David, too many conservative men are doing that.
Yep.
So that makes it bad.
Hey, by the way,
so they're encouraging and promoting bad behavior and bad nutrition because conservatives are doing good things. So we have to promote bad things. We have to spread the misery of bad nutrition and bad health.
Yeah. Hey, you were talking with John Jackson about sort of what's really driving some of this stuff from the left. And that was sort of your point. And I agree with that. I would say one more thing about it and what's really driving some of this stuff from the left and the Democrats. It's spiritual warfare. We have this is Satan and Lucifer and demon possession on a lot of these leftist Democrats. They're pushing evil because they're satanic and they're possessed by demons, and we are in a spiritual war, Aaron.
So I mentioned how the Democrats are pushing this anti-health stuff because socialists want to spread the misery. They don't want to spread wealth. They want to spread misery. And the Hopi changing climate change garbage. They want to shut down agriculture. So that's another one.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right. I got a great, what I would think is a woke update of the week as well here to throw at David Noble. But I think Nancy in Roundup has a woke update or a woke question for David as well. Nancy, yeah, great to hear from you.
Yeah, good morning, Montana Talks family. Good morning, David. First, I want to talk about the Chinese tariffs. It seems to be working. Mercedes-Benz has closed a plant yesterday. Apple is moving out of China and moving into northern India. This is all great news. I heard that the Chinese are just rebelling. They're just going crazy in the streets of China. And, you know, we impeach presidents here in China. They assassinate. So Xi Jinping's head might be on the block. And it's excellent news. I'm going to tell you, my generation was probably the last generation to see USA-made quality goods on the shelves in our stores. And I will be so delighted when the shelves are empty and nothing made in China is there and is going to be replaced with our goods. That's great, great, great news. And now, David, I was listening to Hugh Hewitt yesterday in the Salem News Network. He's on in the afternoon now. And he had President Trump on a telephone interview, and Trump said that woke is almost extinct. It's just about gone in our country. So I wanted you to hear that, and you can pick up that podcast. But that's another great thing, too.
Yeah, that's great. That's not only a woke update of the week, but it's also a Trump W, a Trump right. win of the week as well, you could argue there.
Which is another thing we were going to try to do here, and there's just been so many of them and just so many wins that it's been hard to just track down just one to highlight every week. But, no, I hope that's right, Nancy. And then on your China point, I've been seeing a ton of stuff about that too. In fact, I just saw yesterday an interview with the manager of the Seattle Port Authority. He said they didn't have a single ship. They didn't have a single ship in their port in Seattle, and the port in LA, which is supposed to be one of the normally busiest ports in the world, also has no ships. You look at the ports in Shanghai, the ships are just everywhere, docked off the port of Shanghai, and Trump is right. Trump has said it. We're not doing any business with China right now, which is why you're hearing everybody else talking about how we're going to have empty shelves in 2 to 3 weeks. And I'm with Nancy. It's like, look, if all of the cheap Chinese slave goods that none of us can afford anyway, you know, Mark Dice always makes the point when he's out there bullhorning the Black Friday shoppers. You know, you're out there buying cheap goods from China made by what are essentially slaves, and they're things that you don't need, and you're buying it with money you don't have. And it's like, it's not that great of a thing. And, you know, I had somebody respond to me on X, Matt Monfort, and responded and said, hey, I don't want the president being the one to decide what kind of consumer goods we buy. And you know, I've been thinking about that, because it's kind of an interesting point. But you know what? Trade actually has a big play on foreign policy. And I've said from the very beginning of this thing that what Trump is doing with these tariffs and what he's doing with China is a tool to further America's foreign policy interests. And historically, that's what we've always used tariffs for. During the Cold War, we used tariffs, or a lack thereof of tariffs, to try to draw countries into the democratic capitalist orbit as opposed to the Soviet communist orbit. So tariffs have always been a tool of American foreign policy. And guess what? American foreign policy and American national security is absolutely within the providence of the president. And so you may say, hey, maybe the president shouldn't be the one to decide what kind of, you know, consumer goods we can or cannot buy. But when it comes to national security and foreign policy, yeah, it actually is the president's job to do that.
Well, and to Nancy's point, too, about China. So, you know, she made a great point about how President Trump's policies are working. I don't know if Nancy saw it. I've got it. Actually, Nancy, you need to go see it if you missed it, because Nancy's a big fan of Gordon Chang. You've seen Gordon Chang before, right? Gordon Chang is an incredible expert on China. He's the author of a couple of different books that I'll mention, The Coming Collapse of China, and another book, Plan Red, China's Project to Destroy America. So coming up less than 1 month now, June 6th, which is a Friday, Gordon Chang is going to be in Columbus, Montana.
Wow.
June 7th, the Saturday, he'll be at the Miles City Livestock for the Patriot Roundtable in cool. Miles City. So Gordon Chang for two separate events. He's going to join us on the show. We've already got him scheduled.
Awesome.
So we'll get the chance to chat with Gordon Chang. But as I was sharing these updates on our Montana Talks website, go to this headline, China, what every Montana needs to hear. And Gordon Chang, here's the quote that I pulled from a recent Fox Business interview. There are factory closures. China can't sell to the global south or to anybody else the products that it would otherwise have sold to the U.S. And so, long story short, what he is saying is that Xi Jinping's hold on power is weakening. Remember, in China, he has total power. So the failures of COVID-19, and they're blaming the Chinese people are blaming Xi Jinping for these tariffs. And so could this lead to the fall of the communist Chinese leader?
That's what I don't want it to, because you know what countries and dictators do when their own hold on domestic power is threatened? They start wars, because when you start a war, you have a rally around the flag effect and you don't lose your dictatorship anymore. And so I really hope we don't get to a point right now where you see Xi Jinping individually susceptible to losing his power, because I think he'd invade Taiwan. Xi Jinping would launch an invasion of Taiwan before he would give up his own power, I think. Now, if it's the actual Communist Party of China that's on the verge of getting overthrown, then I think you've got a better chance, and maybe there's infighting at the highest levels and you could see some progress. But if it's just Xi Jinping personally at risk because of all of this, I'm worried that he would invade Taiwan.
That'd be great, and that would be the question for Gordon Chang. And I wonder if he's addressed this in some other recent interviews, because, you know, the critics of Trump's tariff strategy would say, hey, China is in such a tough position right now economically anyway that if they feel a major threat like this, that they might be willing to start a war over this.
Right.
I'd be interested in hearing Gordon Chang's take on that. Either way, I don't think America should be intimidated from doing the right thing for America based on whatever might happen in China. But on that front, though, Iran, the terrorists in Tehran are also making threats once again at the United States of America. The DailyWire.com has this. Trump will, quote, bring the wrath of all Iranians over renaming a body of water. So I've talked about this before on the show, David, but I love that Trump is doing this. I saw you retweeted this morning as well. So first he changed the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America. And that's working out great. Seems like that's working out great, right? People love it. I want to get a hat that says Gulf of America on it. But now he's saying we're going to change the Persian Gulf to the Arabian Gulf. And this is huge because you look at that geography, look at the map, look at all those countries surrounding the Persian Gulf.
And the Arab, yeah.
The Arab countries are the ones that have been working with the United States.
Right.
You know, say what you want about them. They've been working with the United States. They were under Trump one. They were supporting the Abraham Peace Process Accords with Israel. And the Persian country, the historically Persian country of Iran, is basically a terrorist regime that's slaughtering their own people right now. So why not?
So a Democrat raised a question about that issue, and I'll just pose it to you, Aaron. Since when does the U.S. president have the authority to rename international bodies of water?
Well, he doesn't have to rename it, right? It's how we refer to it, how we respond to it. But, you know.
Right, but I thought that was funny because it's like what really is going to happen is everybody's going to just go along with it because it's Trump and it's the United States. And so, yeah, maybe we don't have the power to rename international bodies, but watch what happens.
Yeah, it's a question of power and influence, right? You can have power or you can have influence. Some people have both. Donald Trump has both, but he can use his influence to make things happen.
Yeah. I mean, I think you've got the same risk with Iran and the mullahs there with in terms of they've been on the edge of getting overthrown for a long time. Remember the Green Revolution happened under Obama, and Obama wouldn't lift a finger to help the people of Iran during that time period when that really the Iranian regime should have been overthrown in 2009 during that Green Revolution, but for Obama. But they've been under the edge of collapse. So they don't have the support of the people of Iran, you know? And so, again, though, what would they do? What would Khomeini do if he was faced with the choice, I can either lose power and die, or I could do something crazy? That's the scary thing, right? Because that's a lot of times the choice they're faced with.
Yeah, but I've mentioned this story before, and this is no secret. I mean, you can read about it. I mean, this is publicly acknowledged. Everybody knows this, but it is interesting because we've already referred to the Persian Gulf as the Arabian Gulf because, like, if you're having meetings or, like, let's say you were going to have a meeting with somebody from an Arab country, and you were going to have some maps in your briefing.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
A smart person would tell you, hey, don't use a map that says Persian Gulf on it. Use a map that says Arabian Gulf.
I saw another post on X that basically it was somebody that had been over there and he said, you know what, we just changed how we referred to it depending on who we wanted to tick off the most.
Brilliant.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
The amount of lawsuits, this is where the Democratic resistance is getting worse and worse daily. You got all these activists, legal groups, elected officials, local jurisdictions now. We now have the full number. It was on Fox News Digital. More than 150 lawsuits against the Trump administration since January 20th in response to more than 90 executive orders as well as executive proclamations and memos. And the president has long been a legal target, which hit a fever pitch during the 2024 election cycle when Trump faced four criminal indictments. All of this is designed to stop and usurp the constitutional authority of a president.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
Now, don't get suckered into the same old free phone game by Big Wireless. That comes with a lot of fine print, plus, 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 plus. Oh, in other words, you pay more, more, more. At the end of the day, you paid for that, quote, free phone three times over. There is a better way.
Pure Talk, my cell phone provider, a veteran-owned company, my sponsor, my wireless company, has a much better offer. A free phone with a qualifying plan for just $35 a month, and you get a brand new Samsung Galaxy A26. Just make the switch to Pure Talk for $35 a month. You get unlimited talk, unlimited text, 15 gigs of data with mobile hotspot and roaming, all on America's most dependable 5G network. Just dial #250, say the keyword save now, and Pure Talk's U.S. customer service team will help you make the switch in as little as 10 minutes. Again, #250, keyword save now. Get your free Samsung Galaxy with a qualifying plan when you switch to Pure Talk, wireless by Americans for Americans.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny skies across the area for today, there's a slight chance for a shower storm late in the day. Otherwise, highs range from the lower 70s in Bozeman to the low 80s in the Billings area. For tonight, isolated shower storm chance early. Otherwise, temperatures will head back down to the mid-40s in Bozeman to the mid-50s in the Billings vicinity. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
From the van loads of illegals busted crossing the border near Shelby to the stabbing suspects in downtown Bozeman and an illegal alien being deported out of Billings, there is a pileup of illegal aliens in the Montana news. Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. We've got the full story, well, several stories, MontanaTalks.com. But I forgot one. There's one more I should have added in there. There was a big cocaine and meth bust in Bozeman. And, yep, illegal aliens, too.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, that's the fun part of the show is you never know what we're going to talk about. One phone call can change the whole direction of the segment and potentially the rest of the morning. So thanks for your phone calls. You can message us on the Montana Talks app as well. David Noble, one of the things I wanted to do here this morning is I've been seeing a couple of stories. You know Stephen A. Smith? Sports.
Not until recently.
Yeah, so, you know, Caden probably knows him pretty well because Caden, you know, is a big sports guy, so he did a sports update for us earlier. But Stephen A. Smith, I think he was on ESPN, black Democrat. He would describe himself as independent. But he's been on with Hannity a few times now. But basically, you know, he's definitely a guy who has been a Democrat, but he's basically... He's been talking about the idea of running for president as a Democrat, but apparently he's having some second thoughts here in terms of running as a Democrat. Here we go. Okay, I don't. For some reason, all of a sudden, my computer is not talking to my studio board. I was wondering. Anyway, so let me restart my computer.
So here's what I've heard about Stephen Smith, though. So I've been hearing a number of Democrats that are kind of excited about the prospect of Stephen A. Smith running, because I think you've got a lot of Democrats to kind of recognize that, hey, you know, maybe sending out Chuck Schumer and AOC and Bernie Sanders is not really working for the Democrats. Maybe Jasmine Crockett, with how disgusting and rude she is to people in wheelchairs, both what she did to the Texas governor and then what she did recently budging people in line with wheelchairs.
Congresswoman Hot Wheels. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, when that's your alternative, it's like, yeah, I'd be looking to a sports broadcaster, too.
He'd be looking for anybody at this point. But yeah, but basically he says that in this audio clip, and there was another one that caught my eye earlier this week. I think the Daily Caller had the story here. Stephen A. Smith says Democrats are too broken for him to run for the party's nomination. This was during a CNN appearance on Sunday. He says, I'm an independent. I'm a registered independent. I would lean left. But he told Jake Tapper, he said if he were to run, he would run as a Democrat, but he's not happy with the Democrat Party. It would pretty much need to be purged in order for me to be a part of it, basically.
I mean, look at the history of the Democrat Party, too. I mean, the Democrat Party is the party of slavery. They fought for slavery in the Civil War. They're the party of the Jim Crow South. They're the party of segregation. They fought for segregation all the way up and through the 60s. So, like, yeah, why would you want to be a Democrat? Here's the other weird thing. Why is it that these leftists, and a lot of times radical sort of extreme leftists, they always consider themselves as moderates? or independence. You know, and it's like, no, no, like, you support socialism. You're a communist. You're not some moderate independent. Quit lying to us.
Yeah.
But they think that way because I think they've been, you know, the media has kind of gotten them there.
Yeah, in fact, I looked at, I was reading the history because, you know, the birthright citizenship debate and everything like that. And so I was reading the history about Native Americans finally getting citizenship, or Native Americans finally getting the right to vote, things like that. And you know, when Native Americans finally got the right to vote, there was a Republican president, there was a Republican Senate, and there was a Republican House of Representatives. And even when you look at the civil rights legislation in the 60s, I mean, it was Republican congressional leaders like Everett McKinley Dirksen who made sure that civil rights got across the finish line. And then now the modern-day Democrat Party is the party of modern-day sharecropping, which is the welfare state. It is modern-day sharecropping, which is another tool that the Democrats in the South used to you know, suppress black people.
Right. Well, and never forget that the entire concept behind all men are created equal comes from Christianity, comes from the Bible. It's like, The entire basis of everything that Democrats purport to believe literally comes from the Bible. And the first slavery abolitionists were Christians that would today be labeled as far-right religious extremists.
They were pro-life Christian Republicans that led the charge against slavery. Pro-life Christian Republicans, yeah, who deserve the credit for fighting slavery.
Yeah, and you see the same thing going on today. So Stephen Smith saying, hey, I want to run for president, not as a Democrat. Makes perfect sense.
And the Democrats want to send Planned Parenthood in to abort black babies. So, yeah, wow. Unbelievable.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
It's hard for me to get the image out of my head of Lucy holding the football for Charlie Brown to kick when people start talking about cutting spending in the federal government. You know the cartoon. Every time Charlie Brown runs at the football to kick it, Lucy pulls it away at the last minute, only to implore him to try again. And so we start again to talk about cutting things in government, only to find that spending continues to surge. It must be said, leaders in Washington, including the ones we send there from Montana, simply are not serious about cutting spending or raising taxes to manage deficits. There's been simply no downside for elected leaders to spending ever more borrowed money, to the point where today, in a full employment economy, government spends $1.8 trillion, or about 37% more money than it takes in taxes. But if leaders pay no attention to future generations who are saddled with that debt, there is one voice that gets their attention, and that is the bond market. The stunning rise in bond yields a few weeks ago following the tumult over tariffs reminds us of that fact. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.